Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love. What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
In this AudioCast 48, we learn how to change the culture with one question. What are you passionate about? We'll be right back.
One, two, three, listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. And this week, I do a little bit of a retro return, and I go back to Australia. You know, I do some work there on occasion, and I'm always just shocked to see what Australia is really like. It's the land of nice. Everyone there is so incredibly polite, unless, of course, they just set to drinking and then they just kind of like piss the night away, so to speak. But I had a chance to meet some people at a talk that I gave. I didn't know exactly who they were, and so they fascinated me. So I just invited them to Shoot the Shiitake with me, and you're going to hear all about The Culture Project with Catherine and Peter, two of their group, who's going to tell me these amazing stories that have literally changed cultures one conversation at a time. That is totally up my alley. So get ready for this deep dish discussion with The Culture Project in Australia. We hope that you're enjoying this episode of Shoot the Shiitake, brought to you by SelectInternationalTours.com. I've got some amazing trips, and I invite you to come on them. And so if you want to learn more about my 2019 trips, whether it be to the Holy Land in Jordan or the Danube River, or go to the Amalfi Coast, Malta and Sicily, or even go to Croatia, the Dalmatian Coast, and a little retreat day in Medjugorje, all you've got to do is go to SelectInternationalTours.com or go to FatherLeoFeeds.com/travel or just call directly 800-842-4842. That's 800-842-4842. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo. I have got two amazing people. We've got Catherine Turnbull and Peter O'Donovan. And you are going to hear accents because we are in the land down under, and we're actually in the basement of a place called Two Wolves Cantina. And these two are trying to improve culture with kind of one encounter at a time. So first of all, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Father. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, and they're going to be passing the microphone back and forth. So if they are like arguing for the, this is going to be kind of fun. Tell me exactly where you're from. You know, just are you from Sydney?
No, we're actually, neither of us are. So I'm originally from Adelaide. Which is in South Australia, which is down the bottom. And so I grew up there with my family, but I moved here to Sydney 5 years ago to go to uni at a place called Campion College, where both of us, both Peter and I, went to study the liberal arts in a Catholic tradition and really explore the Western tradition through like history and theology and philosophy and all that
I'll
kind of
hold
stuff.
It for you.
Thank you so much. I mean, I'm getting this like whole technical thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You can tell I'm not technical. We're all about like reading and writing and nerdy stuff like that. So
you're starting to like talk Italian. Our hand is holding the microphone. It's going in different directions. That's okay. So Adelaide for you.
Yeah. So Adelaide for me, and then Pete's also from not from Sydney as well.
Okay. Where are you from?
Yeah. So I'm from Brisbane. Which is north of Sydney, which is sort of where which is kind of famous for jellyfish and sharks and dangerous things. It's very hot up there.
Brisbane.
Yeah. Brisbane, affectionately known as Brisbane. Yeah. That's right.
Why?
I don't know.
It's like glamorous. It's like the glamour set country.
It doesn't bear much resemblance to Las Vegas.
Okay.
No.
I mean, are there slot machines?
there are slot machines and there's a casino, but yeah. Okay. That's about as far as it goes.
And then you guys wound up in Sydney doing what? Tell me a little bit about Culture Project because I just don't fully understand it.
Yeah. So what we're actually part of is a missionary organization of young people who are really looking at our culture and kind of going, wow, I wish this could be restored, like to one where every single person is seen as someone to be loved. And that's really what we're doing, is just one person at a time in encounters with people of our own generation. And we find them mainly in schools, but everywhere that young people are, like bars.
What do you mean by young people, first of all?
I mean, our own peers, really. So both of us are in our early 20s. Okay. And our whole missionary team is really university graduates, young people coming from the professions who have really seen a need in our culture and just hoping to restore that through, first of all, our own community and prayer life, and then that overflows.
Whoa, okay, you just jumped into something that I didn't fully understand. You're talking community and prayer life.
Yeah.
This is starting to sound religious.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so I think what sort of drove me to become a missionary with the Culture Project was I could see there was a fair bit of sort of brokenness in our culture. I think a lot of the messages of our culture say that, you know, you sort of have to be valuable, to be valuable as a person, you need to have a certain amount of money or have a certain amount of Facebook likes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for some people, you know, their value is sort of clearly derived from their relationships with their family or they have good friends. But a lot of people now these days, and what I'm seeing people, like young people, is that they're sort of slipping through the cracks. And we really have this message that, you know, your value doesn't come from any of those things. It's inherent. So everyone has this value.
So let's go back a little bit. Who started this Culture Project and where?
It actually originates over on your side of the world, Father Leo. So,
my come side to, of the world.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. America.
Yeah.
So, where in America?
So, in Philadelphia, there's a whole bunch of missionaries down there.
Who started it?
Shout out to you guys, our American brothers and sisters.
Hello.
Christina Barber is our director over there.
And is she Catholic or something, or Christian? What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, she must be some kind of crazy Catholic because she started a missionary organization.
So, this is a Catholic thing.
That is who we are. Yeah, 100%.
Okay, but
yeah.
You guys have a unique relationship with Australia because you can't really be Catholic here, right?
So we're a private organization.
In Australia.
Yeah, that's right. And we reach people.
But in America, is it Catholic?
Yeah. We're a missionary organization. That's who we are.
But
yeah.
In Australia, can you say that you're like a Catholic group of missionaries?
We are a charity advancing education, and we are sharing the good news via what people are asking. Like, people aren't asking, we find, like, in schools, they're not asking, like, oh, I wonder if the doctrines of the Catholic faith, like, what about the Immaculate Conception? Like, is that legit?
Oh, my gosh. This has gotten, like, super deep here. I just kind of want to take it back a little bit and keep it simple.
Sure. Yeah.
So you're missionaries, which means you have to live in community.
Yes.
And for how long are you missionaries?
We commit for a year at a time, a 13-month commitment.
And you have to, obviously, as a missionary, because I kind of know a little bit about this, you have to be self-sustaining.
That's it.
That's right.
And so you're kind of on a campaign to raise money for yourselves?
Yeah, Pete, how's that going?
So yes, part of the role involves sort of contacting people who would support you or the mission.
About how much do you guys need a year?
So our minimum budget is $2,500 a month. So we partner with supportive friends and family, and we tell them about the mission, and we invite them in. I'm sort of in the middle of it at the moment, actually.
Okay, yeah. Just to raise money.
For the mission in Australia.
And then what do you do? You live in community. Do you like live in a church? Do you live just in an apartment? Like, how does this work?
Yeah.
And how many are you in Sydney?
Okay, so there's 6 of us missionaries here in Sydney. We've been around for the last 4 years.
4 years.
And so we're very baby, very, very little, just growing with one person at a time. And we've reached around 15,000 young people a year. But our home base is really a guy's house and a girl's house next to a church. We're really lucky to live next to a church at the moment. And
what church can you say?
Yeah, so we live at St. Dominic's Flemington, which is right next to the markets. And we've got an amazing little parish family there. And yeah, we really just live in community. And from there, we do presentations in high schools on healthy relationships and
so
human dignity.
This kind of sounds like a combination of NET, which is for teenagers, and they just kind of run around and give retreats.
Yeah.
And FOCUS, which is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students in America.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what this is?
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty accurate description.
So didn't you guys just join them?
the FOCUS isn't in Australia.
Okay.
We didn't have that, so that was the first
So
thing.
It's not an option, all right?
We copied our model from them. So, like, they're really good friends of the Culture Project in the States. But I think our individual mission, our individual charism is really getting to the heart of what people are asking. Like I said, people aren't asking about the Catholic faith. They're asking about, am I loved? Am I worthy? Am I good enough? And that's what we're talking
really?
About.
Really? I mean, is that what they're asking? Because that just sounds a little too deep out of the blue. You guys are just walking up to people.
Okay. Can I tell you a story? Okay.
No, I want to just ask you the question first, because I just want to say, do you just walk up to people and just say, like, do you want to ask me a question? Is that how it works?
Okay, so next week, what we're doing is taking a mission of 20 young people, yep. University students, young people, people in jobs, and going up to schoolies on the Gold Coast,
which is the equivalent of spring break in the US.
Yeah. Okay, so spring break. So you're going to Daytona
Palm
Beach.
Yeah,
and you're going to Florida.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep. But in Australia, which is in Brisbane?
On the Gold Coast. Yeah.
Where is
on
that?
On the Gold Coast. It's
Northeast.
Queensland. Yeah, the Sunshine State where the beaches are, where all the young people go to celebrate.
And they get drunk.
Yeah, finishing school.
And is the hookup culture like real here?
Yeah.
This is a ridiculous week of just like, you start at the beginning, you see them at the start of the week and they're all like fresh face, like laughing, like they're all enjoying their lives. And like by the end of the week, they're like sitting on the beach alone. Like all of my friends have like had fights and like I broke up with my girlfriend. I broke up with my other girlfriend.
Yeah, so like, I mean like the real world of MTV is just the same way as it is here.
But basically, we go to the beach and we ask students, you know, we're taking a poll, like, what do you think love is? And we just like really tear open this question, what do you think love is? And, you know, do you think that this is possible in this day and age? And like, we really get to the heart of this, of this question and
So wait, let's back up just a little bit more. In order to become a missionary, what are the requirements? Because
it's a little bit crazy.
Yeah, you gotta be. I mean, you guys are a little kind of nutso to me.
He was like, "We're gonna interview some just normal Australian."
You do prior to this? Let me ask you that. What were you doing, Catherine?
I went straight out of university, so I did a 3-year arts degree. I majored in literature and Latin, and I was
in what?
Latin.
Oh, Latin! I'm like, who's a Latin? I mean, a I lamp.
Like that thing exists in Australia. That's a degree. No,
Latin. Okay, so you were a student. Then how about you there, Peter?
So I was actually practicing as a lawyer.
What?
So
you were a lawyer.
So I was
what kind of lawyer?
I was a commercial litigation lawyer. I was only a baby lawyer. I was only admitted in the court for about. Well, I'm still admitted, but I was practicing as a lawyer for about 3 months. I've been working at a law firm for about 2 years, and I finished my last exams and then completed my practical requirement and then was admitted. And
and you just said, I hate this?
Not exactly. I thought that there was a greater need, and I thought I could serve.
Well, why couldn't you have just? I'm gonna kind of push a little bit. Why couldn't you have just acted like a missionary as a lawyer as well? Because we need people in that field.
Yeah, sure. What pushed me over the edge was just I thought I could always come back to the law, but there's probably not I'm not always going to be able to come back to a missionary group that meets young people on the beach. You know, I'll probably have other commitments.
So when your family heard that you were going to be missionaries, did they think you were kind of like a bunch of weirdos?
It was a great conversation.
My children are joining cults.
Siblings still don't really know what I do.
I mean, because I'm a Catholic priest and I kind of don't know what you do because you're living in community. Who is your kind of superior or your formation director? Do you get that or are you guessing?
We all have spiritual directors.
So you have a spiritual director.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's no common rule of life because it's only for a year and a half.
We commit to daily mass and daily holy hour. So,
okay.
So like as a minimum, we pray together. But
And we have a formation track that we all go through, which is basically
Who runs that formation track?
Well, we got it from the States. We got it from their formation. And then we kind of, we just get the best of what we possibly can do. Most of us are trained in theology of the body. We did courses with Christopher West in the States.
Okay.
And we recently did a formation course with Katrina Zeno over here in the state in Australia as well. Most of us have done like pro-life internships with some of the best, like Matt Fratt and Stephanie Gray.
Okay, so Catherine Turnbull and Peter O'Donovan from the Culture Project were talking about how they took this principle from America, now they're applying it here to Sydney, and they were just ready to start into what they're going to be doing in Gold Coast during spring break in Australia, and you all are going to go up to somebody on a beach, and you're going to say, do you know that Jesus loves you? is that how it's going to go?
Most of the time, we really just ask people like what they're passionate about. And we just get them talking, get them excited.
So, but I mean, come on. Let's do this. You're walking down the beach. Are you in two by two? Are you wearing bathing suits? Or are you dressed like, you know, like, I don't know, missionaries?
We wear like t-shirts and shorts.
So t-shirts and shorts. So does
just
it have
a healthy balance? Right.
Does
in
it share? Does it show the Culture Project on there?
No.
You're not advertising. No. So you're just a group of friends.
Yeah.
And you two by two.
Yeah, we're walking into Devil's Playground where.
Listen, this is kind of funny to me.
It's kind of a bit sneaky, to be honest, because these kids are at like they've been told this is going to be the best week of their life.
So do you try to look cool?
Yeah. Okay. We went out shopping today.
I like to think I am pretty cool.
He just have to try. Look at this guy.
I mean, dude, I'm not looking at him that way. I'm just doing an interview here, Catherine. That's all I'm doing. So I'm just trying to get to the heart of it all. So you get there. You have a place to stay? Like, are you staying at a church or something?
We stay with host homes around the place.
Okay, so host rooms around the place, and you're going to get out on the beach, and this is not a normal 9-to-5 thing that people do after college.
Yeah, this is only one of the things we do, but this is something we're doing next week, so it's kind of relevant. It's probably the most crazy thing we do.
Okay, so let's talk about that, and then I want to hear what it's actually like from the day-to-day and kind of what's inspiring you. But let's just go ahead and do this. We've got a couple minutes here. You go to the beach, you put on your suntan lotion, and then you just start.
We pray to their guardian angels. We pray to our guardian angels. And we just walk up and ask, like, what is, like, so, hey, guys, where are you from? Like, you know, like, kind of start a conversation. But I've had conversations with these kids on the beach for, like, a couple of hours. One of us actually ended up having a conversation with two guys from... Whoa, what is that?
Yeah, I have no idea. That was kind of weird. But we are, just so you know, if you hear some noise, it's because we're in the basement of Two Wolves Cantina, which you're going to actually hear about in the Learning from Leftovers for our premium content subscribers. But keep going.
Yeah. So one of our missionaries actually ended up having a chat with these two guys, and they were wearing these like death metal t-shirts. They've got like satanic symbols around their necks. Mm-hmm. And there's like two girls next to them, and she's kind of like, oh, I could probably talk to them. That'd probably be a bit easier. But there's this voice in her head of like, okay, no, I don't want to deny anyone this. So she ended up talking to these guys, and she was kind of like, hey guys, what is love? And they were like, love is beep. Right. So they're kind of like, obviously they get what they're saying.
Hold on a second. What was beep? I don't understand.
They were like, love is shit.
Okay.
is not what it's all cracked up to be. Right. And she's like, yeah, I get what you mean. She was kind of like,
wait, was she pretty?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. We only get the best, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to.
Listeners,
so
you don't understand what's going on.
in other words, you have to be attractive to be part of the Culture Program.
It's just a natural side effect, I feel.
Yeah, attractive people tend to want to talk about these things, I think. Yeah. But anyway, finish the story, Catherine.
So.
The ending to the story.
Well, this is one of our favorites because it just really shows like that, like, yeah, I know it sounds crazy to kind of finish jobs, finish university educations, and then kind of go, I'm just going to talk to randoms like and teenagers about love on the beach, right? That sounds like a waste of time. But what we have found is that we actually end up being able to encounter people where exactly they're at because they can see a level of vulnerability there. Like, it's hard to start a random conversation with a stranger on the beach, but
I'd say so.
They kind of respond to that and kind of go, okay, well, you seem to actually care about me. Like, I've had the craziest encounters, but this one in particular was special because these guys were kind of like, she was like, well, what are you guys into if you're not into love? And they were like, well, we're into this.
Hold that thought, because when we come back, we're going to hear how this all concludes and learn a little bit more about the Culture Project from Catherine Turnbull and Peter O'Donovan when we return for more Shoot the Shiitake and a deep dish discussion all the way from the land down under. We'll be back in just a moment.
This week, for our premium subscribers, those who donate $10 or more each month, they're going to hear an amazing story, really one that inspired me, from the Two Wolves Cantina, a restaurant in Australia owned by Jesuits, of course. And Cormac Lennon was waiting on me, but he's also one of the project managers, and he tells me how his Catholic faith is a part of his life. And by the way, this restaurant even has a chapel inside of it. I love it. So you're definitely going to want to hear it. To donate, just go to shootthishiitake.com. Please and thank you. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake for our deep dish discussion. We've got Catherine Turnbull and Peter O'Donovan from the Culture Project. And Catherine walked up to two guys with a death metal t-shirt, Satanic Cult, all over their bodies, and yeah. She says, "What is love?" And they said,
"Love is shit."
That's what they said to you.
Yeah.
And well, were you like so pious that you just went, "No, it's not. It's Jesus' sacrifice." I mean,
well, okay. Full disclosure, listeners. Okay, I'm not gonna pretend like this was me. All right, this was one of my friends.
This was someone else. Okay.
Yeah, but I like this story because it's funny. And they were kind of like, "Yeah, love is shit." And she was like, "Yeah, okay, understandable." Like. That's understandable. So she was kind of like, okay, well, what are you guys passionate about? And they were like, we're really into this genre of music called death, horror, rap, gore.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, well, it sounded like that until she told her what it was. And it's like rapping about like screamo music, like rapping over screamo music about like horrible things like eating aborted babies.
Okay, okay.
She's kind of like, okay, all right.
So as we're talking, so you got to see Peter is actually kind of giggling behind here. What are you thinking, Peter?
Well, I'm just eager for the rest of this story. That's all.
Haven't you heard this before?
I have. Yeah. So anyway, it turns out that these two boys had actually, they were 16 years old and they had actually entered into a suicide pact. And 4 hours later, our friend basically had talked them out of it and still keeps in touch with one of these boys.
By the way, if you hear food, it's just because our food has arrived. But don't you worry, because we're actually going to be learning about the food as well as the Two Wolves Cantina from a guy named Cormac and friends. But anyway, Peter is saying that these guys entered into a pact with a suicide pact. That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, it's with each other.
Like, so these guys had rough lives. Like, they had a good reason to say love is shit, because mm-hmm. One of them had like had his dad be a meth addict and he died from an overdose when he was like 2 years old.
Oh gosh.
Another one of his friends had committed suicide when he was 12. Like, these guys have seen the worst of what our culture has to offer young people, basically. Like, okay. Broken homes, broken families, addictions everywhere. And what they realized was that there was a deeper meaning to things. And when they realized that they were actually encountering someone of their own generation who knew something or had experienced something authentic enough to actually want to talk to strangers about it on the beach.
Sure. Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but they kind of sound like losers.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of what the culture does to people, like, I think this is a pretty extreme case. I don't think this is what...
This isn't every day,
but what I have found is that what people are getting every day is a sort of message that, you know, you aren't made for greatness, that mediocrity is all right, and that, like, particularly young boys, I think a lot of the culture, which is saturated with, which is quite sexualized, with like the average age of exposure to pornography is between 8 and 11 years old in Australia. And a lot of what this does to young men, it messes with your brain. Yeah, young men and women.
Oh, it's totally screwing us up.
It sort of, makes you docile, but really what our message is we don't believe that's what you're made for. We sort of encourage young people to scratch a little bit deeper, to sort of step out of the current and not accept what the culture is saying about you and everyone else, and to step up, you know.
Let's do this. Tell me about the conclusion to this particular anecdote, this particular situation. Your friend comes up to these guys, asks that question. She engages them. What are you passionate about? Obviously, screaming on top of rap about eating aborted babies, which is absolutely kind of disgusting, especially since we've got food in front of us right now, and we're going to be praying in a moment.
But the crazy thing is that she was like, "Yeah, well, I'm kind of countercultural too." Like, what they were like, "Yeah, the culture is shit, love is shit, everything that people say is good, like, isn't what it's cracked up to be." And she was like, "Yeah, I know what you mean." And so,
how long did this conversation last?
I think about 6 hours.
6 hours on the beach. I hope they put suntan lotion on.
I think they moved to
Okay, and then how did it eventually end? Because I don't want to do 6 hours of radio about this.
No, well, I mean, it eventually ended with that they revealed that they had basically started off this week kind of thinking, well, we're going to have as much fun as we possibly can, and by the end of the week, we'll just end it, because what's the point of being here after
You're
things
kidding.
Aren't good?
So they were really just going there to live their life until the fullest, and then they were going to kill themselves at this
weekend. Yeah, because why stick around when things aren't good anymore?
And what happened?
And so after this conversation, they really saw that she saw a meaning in life and that she saw a meaning in them. And they said no one had ever said to them they were made for something more than that. And no one had ever showed that sense of love and compassion and interest in their lives. And one of the guys wrote back to her on his 18th birthday and said, "You saved my life that day."
Wow. Wow. And so this is some serious stuff that you guys are doing just by asking one question. What is love?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that kind of... I hear a song in my mind now.
So do we. We ask for things.
What is love? You know what love is? It's the food that we have in front of us, which is why we are going to take a little bit of a break. We are going to eat all of this amazing food from Two Wolves Cantina, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to hear about what it's really like in Australia. All right? We got that? So Catherine and Peter will be back for more deep dish discussion when we return for Shoot the Shiitake. And welcome back from our little dinner break. The food was pretty good, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought that.
Shredded pork stuff going on. There's grilled chicken. Tacos, burritos.
Is it how y'all eat? Is this how you normally eat?
Not usually. Not this quite. Good.
Okay, so let's just go through a day-to-day for you guys. Like, when you wake up in the morning, you just say, I am going to meet someone and ask them what they're passionate about.
Yeah, pretty much. Nah. So we start with the holy hour in the morning. We're really lucky, like I said, to
what
live
time?
Next to a church. 8 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Okay, so holy hour, then what comes next?
On any given day, so say we have a talk that day, we do a holy hour and then we do mass. We always try to get that in before we serve.
Sure.
You know, we aren't really giving lectures, you know, we're really trying to give from an overflow. Like,
your primary work is just setting up little presentations that you all give.
Yeah, so we work mainly where young people are, so in schools. And we present on healthy relationships, chastity, human dignity.
Do they pay you for that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you get paid to do these talks at these different schools. Generally Catholic schools or any school?
Catholic schools, any schools. I've given talks in public schools, homeschooling groups, pubs, conferences, youth groups. Yeah.
How many missionaries at one given time in the Sydney area?
At the moment we have 6 missionaries.
And about 50 volunteers.
50 volunteers, 6 missionaries themselves. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a volunteer and a missionary?
So a missionary will live in community and commit to the daily sort of quasi-obligations.
Okay.
But a volunteer, generally we just sort of, we draw upon them when we need to for an event to help out or to help out at a school.
Okay. And you 6 came to kind of this realization that, boy, things suck. Things are not looking good. What would be the things that you think are the worst parts that kind of pushed you to make a commitment for a year and a half? Like, what was it that pushed you over the top? Was it, I got a bad Facebook post? I mean, what was it that motivated you to become a missionary?
I think what motivated me the most was probably, I think maybe... just how when I went through high school, no one told me that pornography was addictive or that if you watch pornography, you know, your chances of having a healthy relationship would diminish and your likelihood of having a lasting marriage was diminishing as well. And I could see that no one else was really talking about this.
Well, I mean, the only people talking about it is honestly the Catholic Church.
That's right. I've started to really look into it. And I think there's a lot of secular people who are starting to realize.
They're not taking it seriously because honestly, if you don't have grace to resist temptation,
it's almost
an uphill battle.
It's almost impossible. Yeah. But there is these sort of underground forms.
So for
online.
You, it was pornography and just seeing that it was just infecting the world negatively.
Well, yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Anything else for you?
Attitudes towards relationships. I think sort of being told that your value was dependent on other things other than.
What about you, Catherine?
I think when I was growing up, I thought that with like a person's desire for love, you had two choices: to repress it, to basically just like never talk about it, it doesn't exist outside of a marriage context.
Okay.
And even then, it's just for babies and stuff.
Okay.
Or to express it and just like, you do you, girl, you know, like get out there, get what you want, you know. And so when I didn't realize there was a third option, basically, and when I tried the hookup culture, I tried going out on weekends, hooking up with guys, getting drunk, doing all that kind of stuff, and it just didn't satisfy me. And okay. I went home empty, and so did my friends. And
so in a way, you really are living your vocation, your mission to work on people through a relationship, because both of you said what pushed you over was just seeing how the world's relationships were just completely screwed up, right?
Yeah, basically.
Okay,
yeah.
So what exactly is it? What's Australia about then? I mean, because it looks like a United States 40 years ago in terms of evangelization, but with weird accents.
We know you love it, though.
I kind of know. Listen, who doesn't like an accent? You know what I mean? Who doesn't like it? But what is Australia like in your kind of estimation? Because you all seem a little enlightened, but you're not trying to shove it down anyone's throats.
Yeah, I think that in Australia, people are particularly unwilling to talk about what's really going on. I think we have suicide as one of the highest, if not the highest, cause of death for people under the age of 40.
So suicide's a big deal here. Okay.
It's huge. It's huge.
Why though? I mean, it's so beautiful here.
Yeah, and I think people have never developed a, like I noticed talking to Americans, people have, we haven't developed a culture around how to speak about what's really going on.
Yeah, you guys are way polite. I actually watched your news the other night, and all of the problematic things were in other countries. And when they talked about Australia, it was just like the simplest, most insipid things.
Have you heard about the like the sausage on onion gate?
No.
This is an Aussie classic tradition. You'll go to the hardware store at Bunnings on a Saturday morning, and there'll be someone fundraising there with a sausage sizzle. And recently reported on the news was this new policy put in by this hardware store that like you now may no longer put the onions on top of the sausage.
Okay, who cares about
this? Yeah, right? So it was all over the news.
So no, but my question is, what's Australia really like? And you're basically saying they're lying to themselves.
Look, I think there's just a lot of hard truths that people are sort of just really towing around. They're sort of just dancing around the issue, not really willing to address it head on because it's controversial and they're worried about offending people.
So you guys are like British, really.
You don't
want to offend anybody.
I think we draw a lot upon that. You know, we gave a talk at a high school based in Sydney recently, and halfway through the talk, sort of the, you know, it was a talk on sexual integrity. So some pretty hard truths, you know.
Well, you guys talk a lot about sex, man. Yeah. I'm kidding you.
That's right. Yeah, we can't stop.
That's what they're asking about.
That's right.
But I mean, there's got to be a place and time when you're just like, we're not going to talk about masturbation right now. We are going to talk about just.
Sometimes we talk about purpose.
Purpose, okay.
Human dignity.
Okay, so, but anyway, you think yes, that people are yes, yeah, and masking.
And, yeah, well, yeah, I think these are the issues that kids actually really want to talk about. I mean, if they're talking about
when
it on
you
the
say
playground.
Kids, tell me about what age groups do you appeal to the most? Because it sounded to me like when you're going out to the Gold Coast, it's college kids on spring break. But you're also doing things for like children?
Yeah, well.
Talking to third graders about masturbation?
No.
Okay, I mean.
Our primary school talks are tailored to primary school kids.
Like, and, well, then what do you talk about with primary school?
But the thing that we're finding is that, you know, the average age, as I mentioned, the average age of exposure to pornography is between 8 and 11 years old. And so if people aren't going to teach kids about sex and relationships, then the porn culture will talk to them about it.
Okay, now we're back to sex here. Okay, so the idea of you trying to reveal what it means to be in a real relationship with others, obviously it begins at an early age. So what are the other things that you talk about besides sex?
One of the other things we talk about is healthy attitudes towards gender, like masculinity and femininity.
Okay. So what are the other problems then that Australia do you think is facing besides being so polite you don't even handle the issues honestly?
I think another issue that we're facing is that, well, we've always been a secular country from the beginning. We've never had...
Clearly.
We don't have, like, the in God we trust. We don't have the, like, praise, hallelujah culture that you guys do. So people are quite private about that stuff. I'm trying to think, like, what else does Australia have at the moment? I think we inherit a lot of our problems from you guys. I'm not gonna lie. Sorry, America, but like, you ruined everything.
Hollywood.
We ruined everything. And so that's what Australians honestly think, because half of the news was all about America.
Yeah. Everyone.
I mean, why can't you guys just get deal our with own? Your own?
I know. There's not many of us. There's not a lot of us to kind of band together.
But you still have, I mean, look, I interviewed some Aboriginal leaders and they're pretty screwed up.
That's it. Well, that's the thing.
And I look at Australia and it looks like Chinatown.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm in Sydney right now and I'm at the Central Business District. I hardly saw a blonde person. Everyone there was Asian.
Yeah, you know, so,
I mean, like, you're overtaken by China. Your own act together.
We're called the Culture Project, right? And I think often people kind of go, culture, like, that'd be interesting, actually. It'd be good to get some culture, you know? And I already said, like, culture, people will enjoy that.
Hold on a second. What did you just say?
Aussie accent.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah. You're fine. Okay.
So we're kind of, I found that looking as a sixth generation Australian, I don't know what to point to when I think about my Australian culture.
Okay.
And I don't know what an Australian identity looks like, because we've been mostly given stereotypes, I think.
Well, Crocodile Dundee.
That's right.
Steve Irwin.
Yep.
And
what else?
And basically Aborigines.
Yeah, sure.
So that's kind of what we get. I mean, is that you? But then at the same time, I think blonde, tall, you know, kind of, I don't know, Australian.
Yeah, I think you might be in the wrong place for that sort of stereotype.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be in Sydney.
Get to Vegas ASAP.
Yeah, well, I'll have to show up on the beach and talk to people.
That's right.
About what their relationship with their dad is like, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So, what is your desire ultimately? I mean, because you're not going to be a missionary for the rest of your life.
Hmm.
What are you hoping to get out of this experience as a missionary for the Culture Project?
I want every young person we encounter to know deeply their identity as someone who was made to love, and know their capacity and their worth as someone who can be loved in sacrificially, authentically. I want them to know that they have a purpose and that they are capable of that.
How about you there,
You know? I think what I want to do, like, at least to some, like, if I can just do it into some small degree, is to encourage young people to scratch a little bit deeper on the issues that are important to them, like who they are and what they're made for.
Okay. So here's a question for you as we kind of bring this deep dish discussion, all things Australia, but more importantly, the culture, the project of culture here in Australia. What can I do as a Catholic priest to help you? How can I be a good priest for you?
I think encourage the young people around you to consider deeply their passions and their desire for something more than what they're offered. I think we lack affirmation from those around us and encouragement, and we're always looking for more of that. But as terms of like what people can do to be part of something like the Culture Project, to be part of a culture where everyone is seen as someone to be loved, I think it's about knowing ourselves to that knowing that to be our purpose. Like, so often in the middle of a busy day, we can think that our worth is attached to our success. We can think it's attached to how efficient was I in that task or whatever. But if we consider every single moment of our day as being an opportunity for love, then I think that's something we can do.
Okay. How about you there? What can I do to be a good priest for you, Peter?
You could like us on Facebook and Instagram and give us a shout out. No.
Dude, I'm putting you on my show. I mean,
that's right.
Good.
That's right. No, I think the main thing that anyone could do for us is just to, encourage us and explore the issues that we're dealing with. You know, I don't pretend to have all the answers about all the questions that we're asking, but I have experienced the culture and I have realized that it's wanting, you know, I really encourage people to come and to listen to what we have to say.
So I'm going to ask you just one more question here. Who's the hardest type of people in culture that you have difficulty loving? Like, is there a group of people that you find difficult loving?
And be honest.
Your family. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's real. It bring. I can talk about love all day with teenagers, but when we're faced with like the people who raised us, the people who I'm resentful towards, like that's tough.
All right. How about you, Peter?
The other culture project missionary.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Catherine Turnbull and Peter O'Donovan from The Culture Project. You can learn about all they do at thecultureproject.org. When I come back, I'm going to share with you my carryout order, my experience, what I learned from Peter and Catherine. And more importantly, how did their conversation affect me? And how am I therefore going to affect my culture? When we return for more Shoot the Shiitake, deep dish discussion, coming right back with my carryout order. I'm now taking bookings and events for 2020. Yep, I've got to work about a year in advance. But if you want a dynamic program like a Feed My Faith event, it's a one-night event that inspires the entire parish. No matter what generation they're coming from, we all have to eat. And this night with me and a Feed My Faith event will certainly leave you consoled and satisfied, body, mind, and spirit. So learn more by just going to fatherleofeeds.com/travel and invite me in this message to feed your faith. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for this carry out order with my conversation from Catherine and Peter of the Culture Project. And I'm just going to just briefly share with you some takeaways. Number one, I mentioned how Australia felt a little bit like America about 40 years ago. They're not behind in times in any way. They're an incredibly modern country and a beautiful country. But for evangelization, it feels like it was, you know, 40 years ago, where people weren't really able to be evangelical. And that's a key word. Catherine mentioned that in America, we have a little bit more an evangelical spirit. And that evangelical spirit is someone who is not afraid to evangelize. And so they call upon God and give him praise, like alleluia, praise the Lord, you know, things of that nature. That would be more evangelical, because what they're trying to do is by their witness, share the good news. It's certainly not very Catholic. And Catholics had a great influence on Australia. I'm thinking of Sister MacKillop, Mary MacKillop, and she was someone who took care of prisoners and kind of helped bring the faith to Australia. And so when I have gone to Australia and seen their faith, they are very traditional. And so they're not very evangelical. That doesn't make it bad. It doesn't make it good. It just makes it what it is. And that's why I mentioned that it feels like Australia on the aspect of evangelization is about 40 years behind. They're not willing to just kind of express their faith as they would say in America, where we are certainly a little bit more boisterous. But even though there are those differences evangelically, there are common situations that make it hard to spread the faith. And the number one challenge, I believe, is just finding people to talk about the faith. So the Culture Project is interesting and effective the way Focus is effective. Focus is the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and they do great work. A younger version of that would be like the NET team, National Evangelization Team, where you have people coming in from the outside, coming together, building community, getting formation, and then being sent into the world in order to just meet people where they're at. Bad English, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so their story about going to the Daytona Beach of Australia, the Gold Coast, and just walking around with, you know, t-shirts. So they look like normal people. They're in a way going to be leaven in society, almost like secret agents. And they're just coming at people with something very challenging, and that is a question. People don't know how to deal with questions, especially from strangers, especially if the question is something deeper. Like, what are you passionate about? You know, I never would have thought about asking that, but I love the word passion because it comes from the Latin verb pati, passio, passionis. And the verb pati simply means to suffer. So we ask ourselves, what are you passionate about? What are you willing to suffer for? It's going to be amazing when you hear it from young people, young adults particularly. And so they're obviously reaching a group of people.
that are their age so that they kind of feel relevant. And I'll be honest with you, they're a very beautiful group of people that I saw with the Culture Project. I would actually be honored if anyone of them just came out of me out of the blue just to ask me questions. You know, that's another thing that I learned about in this carryout order. You have to be beautiful in order to reach people out of their ugliness. You know, I think misery loves company for sure, but it really can just take someone spiraling downhill. If you're like a miserable person and kind of depressed and you just go and infect everybody with your misery, then that's just going to be an ugly situation. This Culture Project group seemed incredibly positive, perhaps even optimistic. If you were to spin it with theological language, it would be hopeful. They represented the sociological positive quality of Catholic lifestyle. Boy, that was a mouthful, wasn't it? But think about it. The sociological positive qualities of Catholicism. Because oftentimes when people think of the Catholic culture, they're not necessarily thinking of, you know, normal people going to the beach. Nope, not at all. They're actually sometimes thinking of us just being very depressed, judgmental, misogynist, and homophobes. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. And so what the Culture Project and its members have shown is that you have to put on a happy face, a smiling face, and a handsome and pretty face to go out there into the world. That doesn't mean that there's like, I don't know, a modeling competition before you could actually join the Culture Project. That would be ridiculous. But what I'm learning and just having met some of these Culture Project people is that the organization really works hard to foster what is beautiful in you in order to help people out of their own ugliness. I don't know if that makes any sense, but think about it. If you're going to try to help someone out of their ugliness, it's not going to be an ugly person doing it. It's going to be someone who understands beauty. And so there's almost a theology of beauty approach that I saw with the Culture Project. The other thing that I learned from them is how formation costs money. When I went to seminary, the Archdiocese of Baltimore paid for me. I only kind of, I don't want to say left, but when I exited the Archdiocese of Baltimore and entered into a secular institute, which has a very similar principle as the Culture Project and lay institutes in general, they got their money out of me. In other words, I waited at least 10 years before I could make a move because I wanted to make sure that I paid back the Archdiocese for their payment for my formation. And for that, I am very grateful. I would have paid for it myself. That's not a problem. But you can see that something like this does cost money. In order to get formation, in order for them to have an opportunity to live in community, and then of course they're only working for nothing, so they have to be able to make their own as missionaries, I just kind of encourage you to maybe consider sponsoring a Culture Project missionary, the same you would sponsor a NET minister, the same you would sponsor a Focus missionary. So if you ever get an email from anybody asking for support with this, these are young people doing amazing good work. I mean, Peter wasn't, he was a lawyer for God's sakes, you know? I mean, and Catherine, she was just really impressive in just her energy and zeal. And having met some of the other ones too, again, mightily impressed with what they were doing to affect culture. So I told you that at the beginning of the show, could one question, what are you passionate about, change the world? Absolutely, because it gets people talking to others about what they care about. And then if you're willing to listen to them, then guess what? They should be willing to listen to you. What I heard from Culture Project is that they're not preachy. Thank you, God. That's the last thing I need, is to have a lay organization act like a bunch of clerics and therefore they know everything. Not at all. And I'm not speaking anything bad about clerics. I am speaking about clericalism, which is just a disease to anyone who puts on the Roman collar. So having said all that, I just want to thank Catherine and Peter and the Culture Project, as well as Two Wolves Cantina. By the way, if you want to hear my interview with Two Wolves Cantina and hear about what these amazing Jesuits are doing in Australia, opening up a restaurant right in the middle of the university. And by the way, they serve pretty good food. You'll hear Cormac Lennon, and you can learn more about that if you're a premium subscriber. So please support us with a $10 donation each month. Please know that I do what I do in order to affect culture and to bring about conversions one conversation at a time. And I can't do that unless I have your support. So please consider supporting us at shootthesheetake.com. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, God bless you and stay hungry. This episode was brought to you by SelectInternationalTours.com, 800-842-4842. Give them a call and join me in one of my pilgrimages, and you'll notice how they have a passion for the pilgrimage and compassion for the pilgrim. And learn more and be able to support, advertise, and donate, and also send me your questions at ShootTheShiitake.com.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.